Okay, I'll put everyone on mute. Let me put everyone on mute. 1 second. Okay. This week is Parshas Terumah and Parshas Zohar. Two major events happening this week. We learn about the beginning of the building of the Mishkan. And we are mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of remembering what Amalek has done to us. And the obligation to keep in mind that when Mashiach will come, Amalek must be obliterated. Timcha Zecher Amalek. Now there's another event that's happening right now, today, Hayoim. Today is Zayin Adar. Today is the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's not just the yahrzeit, it's also a happy day. It's the birthday. It's the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu. How old would Moshe be today if he was alive? I don't know. That would be something interesting to try to figure out.
I don't know, but that was my father, Olam Sholem's birthday as well.
Zayin Adar. So it's a. Chazal tell us that it's a.
Moshe Feinstein's birthday also. That's why his name was Moshe.
Unbelievable. A lot of great people with the name of Moshe, born on Zayin Adar. Chazal tell us that Haman made the fatal mistake when he cast the girl. When it came out to Chodesh Adar, he said, "Wonderful. This is a day that he will succeed because it's a sad day for the Jewish, sad month for the Jewish people, in that Moshe Rabbeinu left this world. He left his sheep without a leader." And Chazal say that's not the way to look at it. Don't be pessimistic. It's a day of optimism. It's the day when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. There's a very powerful lesson in and of itself, that a lot of things have happened in this world. And there are always two different ways to look at it. Here he died. Doesn't have to happen. He died on the same day that he was born. But the fact is, he did die today. But he also was born today. What is the Ikar and what is the Tafel?
You'd be 3,413 years.
3,413
years. 13 years old.
It's a bar mitzvah boy. He's a bar mitzvah. Today's his bar mitzvah. Mazel tov. To Moshe Rabbeinu on his bar mitzvah. I just heard the number 13. I don't know about those other numbers. I can't count. I can't count that high. But I heard the number 13, so it's bar mitzvah. Mazel tov to Moshe Rabbeinu. We have a leader in Klal Yisrael. But in any event, this in and of itself is a very important limud ha-musr that Chazal have taught us, and it's so necessary in our day and age. And that is, Haman, let's assume he had his birth records. He knew Moshe was born on Zayin Adar. Well, are we going to say Haman didn't know that? He just ignored the fact? That would be too simplistic. We have to assume that if we know that Moshe was born on Zayin Adar, Haman also knew he was born on Zayin Adar. Did he die on Zayin Adar? Yes, he did. Did Haman know that? Yes, he did. Did we know that? Yes, he did. What then is the difference between us and Haman? The difference is Haman focused on the Ra. Haman took the same event, the same day where Moshe was born and Moshe died. And Haman said, who cares who was born? The Ikor is he died. That's something bad. And I'm going to use that to my advantage to attack Klal Yisrael. Chazal tell us Haman got it all wrong. Not that it's not correct that he died. He died. But that's not the way you're supposed to look at events. When there's something positive on a day or in an event, in an occurrence, Chazal are telling us, look at the good. Ubocharta b'chayim. Es ha'chayim v'es ha'moves nosati lifonecho. Alma nemar, on this day. Today is the day. We have a pasuk at the end of the Torah that says, Es ha'chayim v'es ha'moves nosati lifonecho. Ubocharta b'chayim. So what's the pasuk pshat? If you observe the Torah is chayim. Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba. If you abandon the Torah, this is not a good thing. I'm telling you, ubocharta b'chayim. Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, choose life, choose to be observant, choose to embrace the Torah. That's the pashup shot. But al derech derush, this pasuk is said on this day, Zayin Adar. Es hachayim v'es hamoves nosati lefonecha. Today, two things happened. Chayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And when a tzaddik comes to this world, the world is filled with light, with blessing, prosperity, happiness, good health. Every blessing that you can possibly want comes when a tzaddik arrives. But this day was a horrible day. Moshe Rabbeinu died. We're still mourning his death. We discussed yesterday. Every Shabbos, we recite Tzidkas Chatzedek in commemoration of Moshe. Over 3,000 years, and we're still talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's death every single Shabbos. And we don't wish each other good Shabbos because Moshe died on Shabbos. So many years, you know, get over with it. No, we focus on his death. Haman, this day, two things happened. Haman, Harasha, said, be pessimistic. Don't look for anything good in this world. Anything that happens in this world, it's a churban. This world is just a horrible world. Choose death. He selected this day, he focused on the death in order to bring upon Klal Yisrael a churban. The Ribbono Shel Olam told us, you're wrong. U'bocharta b'chayim. It's a wonderful day today. Moshe Rabbeinu came into this world. He brought bracha. He brought down the Torah to Klal Yisrael. He gave us a legacy. He gave us life. He gave us everything. Today is a day of bracha, the shorish of bracha for Klal Yisrael. Now let's go forward. Yesterday, something very interesting happened here in this room, room exactly where I'm sitting right here. You can see in the screen the menorah, right over there, the menorah. What happened over here? I'm sitting over here in the afternoon, and the president of the shul comes in, Mr. David Stern, and he says to me, oh, you know, we're having a min for mincha here soon. So I said, fine. And normally I daven mincha in the main shul, over here out in the main room where we used to learn, the main shul, a little bit later. He says, no, it was early. It was the early afternoon. So I said, so what's the minyan for? He says, well, we have a chevra kadisha. He is part of a chevra kadisha, David Stern. And as you know, on Zayin Adar, it is the minug for a chevra kadisha to fast. It's a yom tzom. And at Mincha, they lain Vayichal, like a fast day. Avinu Malkeinu. And in fact, they have special slichos that are recited when on Zayin Adar, when they fast. I always thought that this was an ancient minhag and no one does this anymore today. I really thought, no, who does this today? I thought, I never heard of this my whole life. I never heard it even once that someone actually is part of a chevra kadisha. I mean, obviously there are many people that are part of a chevra kadisha, but they actually formally fast. They fast and they say lein vayichal and they say slichos and they go to the cemetery to ask mechila from the mesim and they have a su'uda with a siyum. Guess what? They really do it. I saw it my own eyes yesterday. And all of a sudden starts trickling in over here, people I never saw before. All different types of people. Chassidim, Snagdim, some very modern looking people. All different types of people. About 30 people at least in the beginning. And they daven mincha. They took out a sefer Torah. They lein vayichal. They lein the haftorah. Daven shmoneh esrei. And then they started saying slichos. They came with these booklets that were published by Miss Askim. The exact slichos. It's a very interesting booklet. It has the slichos from many different communities, all different communities, all different versions of what should be said. It's not said, and they said slichos, and the mincha took over an hour. I had no idea what I was getting into by davening mincha with them, but it was a very very good experience to see this. It was a very long mincha. I'm used to mincha in not more than 15 minutes, and this took way over an hour. And then that wasn't over. There was a very chashuv person by mincha. They gave him shlishi. And after mincha, so everyone sat down. Like these people, they were like programmed. They knew exactly. Like, they must do this every single year. And the Rav, he spoke for about a half an hour. He spoke for half an hour about Zion, and everyone was they listened very, very intensely. And it was very impressive. It was very, very impressive. Shook me up. It really shook me up. These people in the room, they all fast. They were all fasting. And they were all active members of a chevra kadisha. There must be whatever. This chevra. And it seems like they do this every single year. And then I overheard them saying that tonight they go to a suda. They have a suda. I don't know what they do about social distancing and all that stuff, but I heard them over talking. They're going to, they have a suda. And there's another Rav coming to speak at the suda. It's serious business. All right. But yesterday was Vav Adar. Yesterday was not Zayin Adar. So, obviously, being that this year Zayin Adar is Erev Shabbos, and generally we don't fast on Erev Shabbos, therefore, the tainus this year was pushed back to yesterday to Vav Adar. But today is the yard site. Today is Moshe's yard site. The rabbi says something, I want to show you very quickly and expand upon it. He says something which is very interesting. He began speaking by saying that the Chassam Sofer was very involved in the Chevra Kadisha and in this Tainus and the Tefillah, and he spoke. Every year he spoke at this gathering, just like what this rabbi did. And the Chassam Sofer, as you know, you follow Yisfarim, many of his drashos are dated. Now the actual date, he didn't just write a Sefer, you know, he has this whole drasha with the date when he gave the Sefer. And the Rav said, in the drashos of the Chassam Sofer, there are 31 drashos that he wrote for the Chevra Kadisha. In other words, 31 years, every single year, he gave a drasha to the Chevra Kadisha on Zayin Adar, or during that, whenever the Suda was. And he said that Zayin Adar in his drashas and he spoke about the parasha, only appear twice in the 31 drashas falling out Parshas Teruma. Most years, this year, he went on to explain, is an extremely rare year. This year, if you remember, Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. There was no Shofar D'Oraisa. Was it a 3-day Yom Tov? I forgot already. Was it a 3-day Yom Tov this year? Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres?
No.
But it was on Shabbos, unique, it was Shabbos. Chanukah was extremely rare. Chanukah was a week earlier than we usually have Chanukah, and that allowed us to lay in a very re'af Torah that we almost never lay in Parshas Miketz. It was a week early this year, Chanukah. We know that Purim is very unique. It's Erev Pesach Shechaliyah, it's on Erev Shabbos.
It was Vayeshev.
Very weird. Normally it's Miketz. This year it was Vayeshev. And this year Purim is Erev Shabbos. And this year Pesach is Erev Shabbos. And this year, Parsha Shkolim was Bo Bayom, was on Aleph Adar. We took out 3 Sefer Torah. The calendar is extremely unique. In the year that the Chassam Sofer, when it fell out during Truma, it was a leap year. Not like this year. But nevertheless, he says only 2 of the drashos that the Chassam Sofer gave addressing the Chevra Kadisha fell out against the backdrop of Parshas Teruma. Like this year. And he went on to mention things that the Chassam Sofer. There's this one point I want to mention, which just one point, a little bit different, but I'll maybe come back to something that he said in a moment. It caught my attention, the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim begins with the word Daber. Parshas Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. Let me just turn to the page. Parshas Mishpatim, Truma. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. 1 second, please. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'yikhu li Teruma. What does it mean, Daber el Bnei Yisrael? So the Baal HaTurim says, first Baal HaTurim, Posach daber el bnei Yisrael beloshon pius, appeasement. Why? So the Balaam goes on to explain, because when you come to collect money, if you're a charity collector, a fundraiser, you have to speak nicely. Pius, when you go to a person and you start screaming at him, and you must give me money for my organization, you make demands, it doesn't work. You have to know how to speak. Be mifayes a person to give up from his money. How do you know the word daber lashon pius? It's the haftorah that we lay in the Shivda Nechemta. Dabru al lev Yerushalayim. We find the word dabru, the Baal HaTurim writes, as an expression, as a word which means pius. Dabru alev Yerushalayim. Daber has many connotations. Chazal typically say the word daber means speak with harshness. Daber sometimes means to lead. Yadber amim tachtenu, to guide and to lead. But there's a third meaning, a third connotation in the word daber, and that is pius, appeasement, comfort. Dabru alev Yerushalayim. Hashem says to the Navi, go, be mefayes them. Give them words of comfort for their suffering, their tzar. Dabru alev Yerushalayim. When we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, what could we possibly say to commemorate the life of Moshe Rabbeinu? There's an infinite amount of material that you can draw from to focus on what he contributed to Klal Yisrael, to this world. He brought down the Torah. What more do you want than that? He took us out of Mitzrayim. What did he not do? Instead of focusing on what he did, what did he not do? But this week, today, is a very unique year where Zayin Adar falls out against the backdrop of Parashas Teruma. And the first pasuk in the Torah is, Daber el b'nei Yisrael. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to Klal Yisrael. And the pshutoi shel mikra, the simple translation of the pasuk is, go on a fundraising appeal. Put up a website, a charity.com appeal. Raise money for the Mishkan. That's the pashut pshat. The Baal HaTurim, and the Baal HaTurim elaborates, when you do this, you have to know how to do. You have to go to fundraising school to know how to speak, how to solicit funds in a respectable way. Be mafayes them. But for our purposes today, we don't need even to go further than enter into the world of fundraising. Today is the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's an infinite number of things you can say about Moshe Rabbeinu, but one thing that is not discussed very much about Moshe Rabbeinu was, he was mafayes Klal Yisrael. He was always there in every single situation. He was a real leader. He was there. He was active. He didn't go hide and run away and shy away from his responsibility. From the very first moment that he arrived in Mitzrayim, Pokoid Pokaditi, he went out to the people to see what they were doing, to go to Paro, to tell them, give them a day off, be good to them. And you go through the whole Torah, and he dealt with every single situation. The whole essence of Moshe Rabbeinu was he was a person that was mefayes Klal Yisrael. He gave them comfort. He helped them. He provided for them in a way of pious, delicate. He was the shepherd, as he himself said that when he was about to die, Hashem, this cannot be that the nation will be kitzoin asher ein lohem roye. A shepherd is mefayes tzoin. The godless of Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that this year the calendar falls out in such a way, is a revelation. Besides that Moshe was everything, is not to forget about what it says in the opening words of this parasha. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. Baal HaTurim. Dabru alev Yerushalayim. Be mefayes the people. That's a leader. A leader is a person that knows how to appease, to comfort, That's probably the better word here, to provide comfort for his people. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is the model of leadership for us, for Klal Yisrael, for the whole world. Okay, let's now let's go a little bit further. Go a little bit further. Just another idea, just to touch upon something that the Rav said, this rabbi said yesterday. The Chassam Sofer, I'm not familiar with all the source. I didn't even look up the Chassam Sofer because I didn't have a good chance. But he basically said, he asked a question. Question was, Moshe is coming to solicit donations. How much did Moshe Rabbeinu himself give to the Beis HaMikdash? You know, in fundraising, the best fundraisers are the wealthy people. They can fund. It's very simple. If you're a millionaire, if you're a billionaire, and you call up a millionaire, first of all, he'll answer the phone. That's number one. Okay? He'll answer the phone. If a millionaire calls you up, you answer the phone. And then the millionaire says to you, you know, I'm collecting for this organization. I'm giving $500,000. I believe in it. How much are you giving? So what's going to happen? The other, you're intimidated. If he's giving $500,000, all right, I'll give $100,000. Wow, pretty good, right? Make a phone call, you just raised $100,000. Now, let's make believe I do the same thing. Make believe me, I call up a millionaire. First of all, he'll never answer the phone, never. Let's say by mistake, some accident happens, he picks up the phone. And I say, you know, hello, so-and-so, I'm collecting for this amazing organization. I'm giving $18. I believe in it. I'm giving $18. How much are you giving? Hang up the phone, right? And maybe if he's nice, all right, I'll send in a check of $100. So what's the difference? The person who says, I'm giving $500,000, that elicits a response. In the other one, I'll give $100,000. If someone says, I'm giving $18, okay, I'll give you $100. So Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's going on a fundraising appeal to collect millions of dollars to build a Mishkan, who knows how much the Mishkan cost? Maybe it cost even billions of whatever it cost, all the gold and silver. So don't think the first question is, Moshe, how much are you giving? How much are you giving, Moshe? You're giving $18? You're giving $100? If Moshe is going to go ask Korach, they say Korach was the richest man in the world. So when Moshe calls up Korach, Korach, how much are you giving? So is Moshe will say, I'm giving $1 million. So how much are you giving, Korach? Okay, I'll match it. Matching campaign. But Moshe Rabbeinu, as far as we know, the Chassam Sofer says, gave nothing. Didn't give one penny. Worse than me. So Moshe says, Korach, I can't afford to give anything. I'm giving nothing. Maybe you'll give a donation, $1 million. Okay? What's going on over here? Moshe didn't give anything. We don't find, could we excite a medrash? We know that the Nesim, the princes, what did they say? Oh, you know what? Let all the common people give money, and when the collection is over, we'll be mashlim. We'll fill in whatever is missing. We'll fill in the money. Hashem did not like that. Hashem did not like that the Nesim, the princes of the Jewish people, they waited to the very end to be mashlim. That was not a nice thing to do. You should give right away a lot of money to inspire other people, and then at the end, give again. Be mashlim at the end, but you should give immediately. What about Moshe? We don't find anywhere that Moshe even gave one penny. Hayitochen, Moshe Rabbeinu is not giving money. So the Chassam Sofer says he had nothing to give. You know why? Where did all the people have the money to give? Where did they get the money to give? Bizas Mitzrayim. These were slaves. This was a slave camp, a labor camp. They didn't have a penny to their names. No one had a penny to their names. It's a concentration camp they lived in Egypt. When they left Mitzrayim, there was Bizas Mitzrayim. Hashem told you go to the Egyptians and collect. You take all their finest gold and jewelry. And then when they chased after Klal Yisrael at the Yam, what happened? There was Bizas Hayam. Did Moshe Rabbeinu take any Bizas Mitzrayim? Nope. Vayikach Moshe atzmos Yosef. You know what he took out of Egypt? Bones. When everyone was busy taking money, collecting gold and silver and assets, Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with the bones of Yosef, burying the dead. Moshe didn't have a time to get any, to collect. He had nothing to give. He collected the bones of Yosef. Ki hashpeah hishpia, es b'nei Yisrael. Pakod yivkol kemesre v'hali semes atzmo say mizeh etechem. Chacham lev yikach mitzvos. He posha didn't have what to give. Yet Moshe was an incredible fundraiser, which breaks every rule in fundraising. He can't even be studied in any school of fundraising because he broke every single rule. He didn't have a penny to give himself, and he was successful in raising all the money. Daiva hoiser. Until the point where he says something which never ever happened in Klal Yisrael, where he told them, don't bring any more donations. Stop. This has never happened again in Klal Yisrael, where you have a fundraising appeal, where they tell you no more, don't give us any more. Never, ever did such a thing happen again in the history of Klal Yisrael. He was so successful, ad kedei kach. But the teretz is, Moshe Rabbeinu really did give something very big to Klal Yisrael. And I believe it's alluded to in Rashi. Rashi goes out of his way to enumerate, it's bizarre what Rashi does, to enumerate all of the items that were collected. Zahav, Chesef, Nechoshes, Argomon, Tulashani, Sheish, Moshe, Izim, Avnei Shem, Avnei Miluim, V'chulu, V'chulu. And Rashi says, count them. 13. There are 13 items. By the way, if you count them, they're not 13 items. It's not so simple to find out. How do you get to the number 13? People just trust Rashi. They trust Rashi. It's not so simple how you're going to find the number.
Barbanel says 15.
Exactly. It's not so simple what Rashi says over here, 13. What do you mean 13? There are 15. So there's a lot of discussion. What in the world is going on? Why is it even necessary to count to the number 13? Ein brocha mitsuya ela bedover hasama min ha'ayin. Why do you have to go count how many different types of commodities were collected? But Rashi says, no, I'm going to count them for you. There are 13. Why is Rashi doing that? So I want to suggest to you a drush, because Rashi is very bothered that Moshe Rabbeinu is violating the most fundamental rule of fundraising. The most fundamental rule of fundraising, and they know they do this, and they really, the good in sales. I don't know if you notice this. This is something which I'm very suspicious of. If you go buy a car, lease a car. This happened to me a few times. I don't have a lease to many cars, but this happened. It's like a little bizarre. The person who's trying to lease you the car, they say to you, I have the same car. I drive this car. Really? Why would you drive this car? You could afford a lot better than this. I'm trying to get the cheapest piece of garbage here. You drive this car, you should be driving a Lexus. You're in the business. You should be driving something. What? What do you mean you drive this car? Really? I didn't investigate, but they tell you if you sell Tupperware, you have to tell your customer, I use it. I made dinner last night. I put the leftovers in the top. You have to, to show that you believe in the product, you have to use the product. That's a basic rule in fundraising. How much are you giving? You're collecting for an organization. You yourself couldn't. You think this is a joke, this organization. Who needs this organization altogether? It's redundant. What are they to provide more than anyone else? I'm giving $500,000 to this organization. I believe in it. Wow. When a person sees how much it means to you, that's a whole different world. Rashi is very bothered here. He's very, very disturbed. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael, give. And how about you, Moshe? How much are you giving? Nothing. So what do you want from us? What kind of model are you for us? Rashi goes on to count 13 things. Why does he count 13 things? The number 13, not only that this year is his 13th birthday, after you ignore all the other big numbers, is the most prominent number 13 that exists in the world beyond any anything else beyond the bar mitzvah or anything you could possibly imagine is the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, V'yemes, Noitze Chesed, Lo'alofim, Nos, Avom, Afesha, V'chato V'nakei. The Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. These are the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who gave this to us? Who gave this to us? K'mo shehoidato le'onov mikedem. Kel horeselanu loymar shloish esrei. Uzuchar lanu hayoim b'ir shloish esrei. K'mo shehoidato le'onov mikedem. K'mo shekosuv v'yer Hashem b'anon v'yis yatsevi Moshe v'yikro b'shem Hashem. Moshe gave Klal Yisrael everything. The Mishkan ki beisi beis tefila l'chol ha'amim. The essence of tefila all revolves around the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. 13. Rashi, I'm saying a Jewish. Is this the pshat? Is this real or not? I don't know. Probably not, but there's something here. Dvarim Begav. Moshe, you want to know how much I'm giving? I'm sorry to tell you, fellows, I don't have a penny to give. Because when you were all busy collecting money, I was busy with bones. But I'm giving you everything. I went to Shemayim. This took place after Matan Torah. This comes after, according to the most Mefarshim, the building of the Mishkan took place after the Chet HaEgel. In Mukdam Muchabat Torah. And after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe went to Shemayim and asked Mechila for Klal Yisrael. And Hashem said, no. And Moshe begged and begged for 40 days until Hashem says, okay, go into the rock. I'll pass by. I will appear to you. I'll teach you the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And this will be the survival of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was slated for extermination. Pshuto Kimashmoy. Heref mimeni v'achaleim. I will obliterate them off the face of the earth. And Moshe said, don't you dare. Mocheini no misifruch asher kosafta. And Moshe brought down the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And these Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim have to be stored in the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the mokom of rachamim, of communication with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, korbanos, to evoke the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. I gave this Mishkan everything. Lechem lo yachalti, mayim lo yishasisi. I gave up my name for you. Mochena misivcha sher kosafta. And all of that is captured in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Rashi bends backwards. He breaks the rules of 1+1 to show you here that Moshe was following fundraising 101. What they taught me in fundraising, my college class, fundraising 101, I'm doing here. I believe in this. I'm a believer in what this represents. I'm donating to the Mishkan 13 things. I'm donating. Some people donate diamonds, some donate gold, some give feathers, some give wool, whatever you want to go give. I'm donating 13 things to this Mishkan. I'm giving everything. I'm giving billions. What are you giving? What are you giving for the Mishkan? So it says, you're giving 13 trillion, quadrillion dollars? We'll give $13 million. It's the 13, it's a code. Number 13 is a symbol, it's a metaphor for the Moshe's giving. That's right. I'm giving. And now the people, they reciprocate. They're also giving 13 different items. Okay, let's move on. Let's discuss another idea. Another one more idea about the beginning of the parsha. Rashi tells us that if you count the word teruma in this parsha in the beginning, you'll notice there it says the word teruma three times. First it says vichuli teruma, and then it says tikhu es teruma si, and then it says vizois ha teruma. Three times. Wow. Three times. What's this all about? Rashi says, well, one was for the Adonim. The second was for the Kurbanos, Mach Sashech for the Kurbanos. And the third was general donation. Last year we have on our records you gave $100. Maybe this year you can give more. It was a hard year, Corona. Maybe you can give more this year. You can up it to $118 this year. Give a little more. Three donations, Adonim, Korbanos, membership dues, and then a general donation to the yeshiva, general donation to the Mishkan. That's what Rashi says. I want to go a little bit further. I find it very interesting that, at least according to Rashi, it's not just three donations that are presented here in the Pasuk. It's three emotions. The first emotional, the first emotion is Daber el b'nei shel v'yikhu li. We learned this in the afternoon. We learned Targum. Targum seems to disagree with Rashi, but Rashi says li lishmi. When you give a donation, it better be 100% l'shem shamayim. No ulterior motives. If you're not going to give it l'shem shamayim, I don't want it. Li lishmi. The second time it says, kol ish asher yidvenu libo. He's in a very good mood. He's gracious. You can be gracious and you can have ulterior motives. It doesn't say lishmi. The second time it says giving, it says yidvenu libo. Just be very kind and gracious. The third time it says, I don't care if you're gracious, if it's lishma. I'm taking it against your will. I don't care. Tikhu me'itam. Just take it. Snatch it. Steal it. Grab it out of their hands. Don't go be nice and tell them, oh, say l'shem yichud and be generous. Just take the money from them. Grab it from them. Force them to give you the money. Tikhu me'itam. Of course, the Gezel, you can't have Gezel. I'm just elaborating, just trying shock therapy. Just take it. Just get the money one way or another. By hook or by crook, get that money. So I want to suggest to you is that these three emotions that appear with the three givings correspond zel umazeh. There's a very big Musa Haskel in how you give money. The first collection was for what? For the Adonim. What are the Adonim? The foundation. The second collection was for activities, daily activities, korbanos. Korbanos, what you do there. Every day you bring korbanos. The third was a general donation. You know, every once in a while we want to paint. We have maintenance, it snows, we have to buy salt, we have to buy a shovel. Sometimes no one wants to shovel for free. We have to hire someone to shovel the snow. We have expenses. Expenses. You gotta pay for coffee and tea, you know, electricity, Wi-Fi. Who's gonna pay for the Wi-Fi in the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, come on. Someone's gotta pay high-speed broadband connectivity. With a filter, of course, right? Who's gonna pay the filter? You know, they charge a lot of money, the filters. Genesis, you know, they charge sach geld. It's not cheap to have a filter today. It costs a lot of money. Everything is money. Donations. There's a Musa Haskel. When you come to build something, when you come to create a new organization, a new shul, a new yeshiva, when you come to create and you solicit donations, it better be li l'shma. If you're going to force people to give money, or they're going to give generously but their ulterior motives, you're not going to have siyata d'shmaya. When it comes to the adonim, the sockets, the foundation of the Mishkan, when you come to create something new, it better be l'shem shamayim. Otherwise, you will not be matzliach. When it comes to the daily activities, what do you do in shul? You daven. So, no, there's membership dues. Membership dues, you know, things, the basic expense, just to keep the shul running on a daily basis. On a daily basis. It doesn't have to be l'shma. No, it doesn't have to be. You can give some kavod. You can give the guy an aliyah. You can put up a plaque on the wall. You can engage in fundraising techniques where you can smear the people a little bit. Because the building, the Mossad is already established. But don't force anyone. Don't force anyone to give money. If you force people to give money for what takes place on a daily basis, there's something really wrong. People have to be generous when they use a shul, yeshiva, an organization, if they feel that it's a burden to pay their membership dues, there's something really wrong. They don't have to give a lishma. That's not necessary. That's very idealistic. That's a very tall order. But you have to be generous. This is what, you know, don't be a kafui toiva. You use the place, you're part of the organization, you use the facilities. There has to be a certain understanding. You have to be generous. When it comes to general donations, to put away money for a rainy day, we want to do an expansion, we want to put up a new roof, we want to go buy a new boiler, we want this, we want that. Yeah, we can get by. We can wait a year. Then you know something, it doesn't really matter. Tichu me'itam. Don't steal, of course, obviously. You know, if you can somehow figure out a way, it doesn't really matter. That's not so important, because this is not really so important anyway for the shul. So the shul doesn't have a new boiler, so they'll survive with the old boiler, they'll get a plumber, we'll keep on going like everyone else, just krich through another season with the old roof and hope it doesn't leak like everything else in life. But there's a Musa Haskell here. There are different types of emotions that are important to appreciate when it comes to fundraising. We have here three different fundraising campaigns in the beginning of the parasha. The Adonim, the Korbanos, and general donations. And attached to each one of these donations, there's a different emotion attached. First it says, Li, Lishmi, Lishem Shamai, pure, unadulterated, sincere giving. The second one, generosity. Doesn't say it's L'shem Shemayim. And then the third level is just get the money. Apply for a government grant. Figure out how to use the system to your advantage without going to jail. Out being in the newspapers. Do everything on the books. Just get the money. Just get the money into the account. And it's important when you create something, L'shem Shemayim, when you are a member of a society that uses, you have to be generous. And then when it comes to, all the bonuses, the moldings that you want to put up to decorate the shul with the chandeliers and this and that, all right, listen, this is not what's essential. Just don't do anything illegal. Don't have expectations that people are gonna, I'm giving it L'shem Shemayim. But you need that L'shem Shemayim when it comes to creating something new and fresh. Okay, let's see if I have time for one more vart. William, I want to share with you. I want to talk about Zohar. It'll be very short, but I want to tell you one more vart. I think is an important vart. And that is the Aron. The Aron in this week's parasha, all the kelim, all the different things. And part of one of the kelim is to create the Kruvim. On top of the Aron is a cover, the kapoires. And in the kapoires are two kiruvim. How do you make the kiruvim? So if we wouldn't know, we would think that we take a chunk of metal and we etch away, we fashion these two little angelic creatures, which Chazal tell us look like children, and then we solder it to the base. Teres, don't you dare. It's not the way it goes. The way you make the Kruvim, it's actually important to read the words. I want to show you, I want to connect you two Rashis in two different places to bring out a point about Chinuch HaBonim. about teaching. You go, you're supposed to do, Hashem says, when it comes to the Kruvim, the Kapoires, it says, Mikshe Ta'aseh. I'm reading the Rashi, Pasuk Yud Ches. You don't need a Chumash, but just in case you want to know, it's Pasuk Yud Ches. The Kruvim, Rashi says, was the most parts of Tinoik Lohem, children. So I want to follow the approach that many follow, that this is Chinuch Habanim, children. The children resting on top of the Torah. They're resting on top of the Luchas. Mikshe Ta'aseh. Shloi Ta'aseh Bifnei Asam. Don't go make a Kruv, a child, chisel away and make a nice little angelic figure and then glue it to the base. Usachabram B'roshi HaKapores L'achrasi Yasam K'maseh Tzorfim. Like goldsmiths, silversmiths, coppersmiths. Don't do that. Ella hatel zahav harbe betchila asiyas hakapores. Take a massive, massive chunk of gold. Could you imagine what this thing was worth? A massive chunk of gold, and chisel away. Now, here are the key words. These are words that are very, very important. Take a massive chunk of gold, and what are you going to do? Now, let me not even read the word. Let me ask you what you're going to do. What are you going to do? I'm giving you one massive chunk of gold, and when the day is over, this one gold is going to turn into a thick base, a thick slab on the bottom, with two creatures coming forth from it. So where would you start from? I would assume that you start from the end. You start working and fashioning one of the Kruvim. You finish one. And then you work on the other side, you finish the other. You work around, right? You work around to chisel it. No, Rashi is something very, very interesting here. Very interesting. This is something you have to go talk to someone that works in this business, if this is the way you actually do it. Don't focus, Rashi says, on the two creatures that are coming forth, but rather, vihika bapatish uvikurnus, with a patish, a hammer, a cornice, some type of, these are tools used to chisel away. Bo'emtza, in the center. Take this slab of gold and start in the center, and work your way down. Chisel out from the center. And as you chisel out from the center, the two creatures will somehow, as you maneuver yourself in the center, will somehow appear, course, with your great skill in knowing exactly how to maneuver, but start out in the center. Okay, fine, very nice, in the center. And then, when you finished with tzir akruvim b'blitas kitzoysav, and then you'll form the kruvim with their breaking forth the end. The ends will mamela; they'll break out at the ends when you cut away in the center. Okay, let's fast forward now. Keep that in mind. Now let me go to Pasuk Chav Beis. Pasuk Chav Beis, Rashi says, the Pasuk says that what's the purpose of the Aron, the Torah? But there's another purpose, that when I, Hashem, want to speak to you, Moshe, you know where we're going to speak? You know where my office is? My office is the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's my office. So when I want to speak to you and I buzz you in, you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and I'm going to talk to you there in the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's my private office. Vino aditi pasuk habeis kishe ekba moid lecha ledaber imcha oisem makom ekba lemoid she ovoy shamu daber lecha. I'll go and I'll meet you there, Moshe. Come into my office. V'dibar didcha me'alak haporis. Rashi now asks a question. Ovo makom acher hu oimer v'idaber Hashem elav me'ol moid. Not in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu outside in the hallway. Not in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Contradiction. Okay, the ghost of the Zeh Mishkan, Michutav Orechas. Okay, I'm running through very quickly. And Rashi gives the answer. He tells you the whole process. And here are his words. Bo akosiv ashlishi yom achriya b'neyem. B'voy moyesh lo ilmoe. V'yish mes akol midabri lo mi'alak ha'pores. Moyesh oyin nichnas l'mishkan. Moyesh came into the Mishkan. Hashem called out from the hallway, so to speak. Moshe enters the hallway. And then he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Then there's a new call called Yorei Min Hashemayim. Lebein HaKiruvim. Ah, here are the keywords of Rashi. Then Hashem calls out to Moshe Rabbeinu between the Kruvim. in between the Kruvim, lebein ha-Kruvim, u-Moshe yoytze v'nishma le-Moshe ba'ol moed. Hashem calls out to Moshe, he speaks to Moshe. Rashi's words are, between the Kruvim. That means that when Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, we're going to make the Kruvim now. Here is a big slab of metal, of gold. And I want you to chisel out this big slab to create a base with two figures breaking forth. You're going to start in the middle. The place that Moshe is starting, he's chiseling down, is the Mokoim where Hashem will speak to him. It's Beferish in this Rashi. Later on, when Hashem, I'm going to speak to you, I'm going to speak to you between the Kruvim. So I want you to create, in essence, if we put these two psukim together, Hashem is saying to Moshe, Moshe, I want you to create the Mokoim, the precise location where our communication will take place. Hashem is not, it's not just, oh, I'm going to talk to you, I'll talk to you on the telephone. You go buy any model phone you want. You want to buy a Samsung, you want to go buy an LG, you want to go buy Pixel, you buy, no. Moshe, you are going to create the mokum of communication. Bo'emtza, that's where I'm going to speak to you. And when you create that mokum in the emtza, what's going to happen, Moshe, when you're going to create that? The Kruvim will appear. The Kruvim, these little children are going to appear out of nowhere. Now, this is a basic rule in Chinuch. You don't need to have children to know this. This is a basic rule in Chinuch. What is the ultimate Chinuch? Is it to go take your children and tie them up and beat them up? You better learn. If you don't learn, you don't get 100, I'm going to kill you. Is that what you do? I'll give you a reward. If you get 100, I'll get 90, I'll give you a reward, I'll give you $1 million. You punish them, you reward them, punish, reward, 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 take you on a trip, take you to Florida. You better do. Is that the way you do chinuch? There's a much, much more powerful way. This is elementary. Don't give them rewards. Don't give them punishments. You learn. You, the father. You come home at night, you open up a sefer, and you sit and learn. And when your kid says, Dad, no, I'm learning now. Look, I'm learning. Now I can't talk to you. I'm learning. Nasty sometimes. That impression that the child has to see you communicate with Hashem, I have to go daven out Hashem. I got to go to Ma'ariv. I got to Mincha Shachris. Can't talk to you now. I got to learn now. I have a chavrusa now. We're learning now. We're learning in the house now. He hears and sees you communicate with Hashem. Anyone will tell you that makes an impression upon a child. I want to be like my father. My father learns, I'm going to learn. How do you give tzedakah? You take your kid to shul, you give him a quarter, you go put the quarter in the pushka. Wrong. You go to shul, you take out a quarter out of your pocket and you pick up your child. Come, I'm going to give tzedakah now. And you go, you hold him in your hands, pick him up, go to the pushka, and you put the quarter in the pushka. The child sees that. I want to do that also one day. I also want to do that one day. I need money. I have to have money. I'm making money. I'm going to give money. If you do the other way, so what's going to happen? Here's a quarter. Go put the money in the pushka. So what does the person do? He grows up. When I'll have a child and I'll have a quarter, I'll give the child the quarter. I'll tell my kid to put money in the pushka. Obviously, there's a balance. I'm just joking around with you over here. I'm saying extreme crazy things, you know. But the yisoid is emes. Of course, there's reward and punishment. We all know. I'm getting excited. The ikar chinuch is by example. Look what's going on over here. Here you're creating the kruvim. There's nothing more important in Klal Yisrael than Jewish education. Nothing. Jewish continuity is all about Jewish education. Hashem is Moshe, the time now has come to guarantee the nitzchius of Klal Yisrael, Jewish education. And this is going to be symbolized in making the Kruvim. Here's a chunk of metal. Let's make the children on the Torah. So what would you do? I would make the children. I would, on my own, I would first make the Kruvim and then attach it. No, you're not going to do that. Okay, a chunk of metal? Okay, so we'll work on the children. No. Take your Kornos and make a hole in the middle. What's the hole in the middle? Why is Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you start by making the hole in the middle? That's the place where we communicate. When me and you communicate, the adults, then mimela, automatically, the children will fall into place. When the adults are with the program, mimela, the children just are boilate. They burst forth with a desire to follow in their parents' way. Last vart, it's Parshas Zohar. Parshas Zohar, there are really two mitzvahs. First of all, what kind of mitzvah is this? Violence. Today, they would impeach Hashem for this mitzvah. No, they would present evidence that Hashem wants to destroy the world, the republic. Words of incitement, insurrection, the Torah is to be censored. Hashem is telling the Klal Yisrael insurrection, to destroy the republic, to march on the capital. No, isn't that what it says in this week's parasha? How could they lay this in shul this week? I mean, this is mavish, this is criminal. This is unbelievable criminal activity to go to shul and lay. Don't march peacefully. We don't want peaceful marches. Timche ezecher amolek. Genocide. What's going on over here? How is it shaykh to us to do this mitzvah? We can't do this mitzvah. This is ridiculous. Are you mekayim the mitzvah, Rabbi Yisrael? You mekayim the mitzvah after you finish laying the parasha? Is anyone ready to go out into the world and kill Amalekim? Even if you know who they are, make believe, it's impossible. Even if you can identify on the nation of Amalek, is anyone even going to have a havamina sheba havamina to get up now and to go out and commit violence to mekayim this mitzvah? What's going on over here? What kind of mitzvah is this? How do you explain this? Oh, it's not really practice. Moshe Mashiach, don't get too worried. It's Moshe Mashiach. All right. I mean, Torah is a very practical book. There's a lot of practicality. We don't just do things esoteric, hocus pocus. There's something got to be real. What's going on over here? The answer is, the truth is, there are only two mitzvahs. There are two words the Torah uses in Zohar. Zohar. Eis asher osa l'cho amolek. And then there's another mitzvah. Al tishkach, don't forget. Why the verbas? Why are there two different terms? Why is there a term zochor, remember, and there's another term, don't forget? Okay, there's a lot of interesting ideas, the difference between remembering and not forgetting. But we don't even need to go there. All we need to point out is that in truth, there are two completely separate mitzvahs in zochor. One, you are correct, is really not relevant for us. It's ikvus of the Mashiach. This is something which is not, which we really, really, really cannot relate to. Violence. It's, the time will come, Mashiach will come, he'll take care of it. Don't go there. But we still lay in the parasha. Why? The first part of the parasha is extremely, extremely relevant. The Zohar is what's important. That's relevant for you. Can't learn half the parasha, the other half the parasha. And the other, you have to have emunah. Emunah, there's no sort of emunah. There's going to be a time, you know, emunah, that there will be timcha zecha molek, no question about it. Okay, we don't know what that means, but we have emunah. But the first part has never been more relevant ever, and that is, what happened here? Amolek, Klal Yisrael received the Torah. They left Mitzrayim, they received the Torah. They were on the most exalted level. The world had for them the greatest respect. They were slaves. They were abused. They suffered. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to their rescue, protected them. He was their champion. He gave them the gift of the Torah and HaShemayim. The world was in awe. In awe. On every level. We were victims of horror, of genocide in Egypt. That itself is a reason for them to have respect for us. And then the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has selected us as the Am HaNivchar, and the miracles, the Nisim v'Niflois, every single thing that you can possibly reason you can fathom why someone would have respect for the nation was present. And along come a bunch of lowlives. And they look at us. Zochor eis asher oslecha amalek b'derech b'tzeischem m'shem asher korcha b'derech. They just met us. They just klach hayad. Vayizanev b'chokol hanecha shulim acharecha. They attacked the weak. They took advantage. They attacked the vulnerable. The ato oyef yogea. You were tired. You were vulnerable. And then the pasuk says something very. How could this happen? How in the world can a human being commit such a crime to attack a vulnerable people traveling in the desert who are tired and hungry and thirsty and have just escaped Egypt, a place where they were suffering genocide, and after seeing the divine HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting them, how can there be a human beings that go and attack Klal Yisrael? What kind of people are they? What kind of crazy people are they? They're worse than animals. How does such a thing happen in this world where people do things that are just not, make no sense, go against, break every rule of ethics, of humanity, of what a human being is, even what an animal is? The pasuk gives you the answer. Velo yorei Elokim. When there's no Yirah Shamayim, that's what could happen. It's exactly what could happen. If there's no Yirah Shamayim, a human being can commit a crime that you couldn't even imagine there could be such a crime. That's what could happen when there's no Yirah Elokim. And that's, you are the victim of a people who the Torah defines, according to one pshat, that is going on them, v'lo yorei Elokim. That's, there's nothing in the world that is more relevant for us to appreciate that, for ourselves. If we don't get with the program and work on ourselves to be yorei Elokim, through davening, through learning, through mitzvahs, through taking Torah seriously, if we don't improve, develop, nurture our Yiras Elokim, look what could happen. Look what you could become. Zohar, remember this. There's nothing to do about it. Amalek, nu v'hayob v'honich Hashem lokecha mikol evecha misaviv yi. Okay, don't. We're not focusing on that. We're going to read that. We have emuna pshuta. No one's getting up to go. Do the end of the pasuk, what it says at the end. But the beginning of Parsha Zohar, there could be nothing in the whole Torah that's more relevant than this. To realize what you could become, what a person is capable of doing, things you never fathomed, when there's v'lo yorei Elokim. Yiras Elokim is the most valuable asset in this world. It makes you who you are. It gives you the fuel to propel yourself forward with all of your talents and koiches hanefesh and resources to achieve greater and greater things that you never thought possible. But if there's no Yiras Elokim, it's a dangerous world. Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful Shabbos. Stay safe. Again, if you can't go to shul, no big deal. You don't have to go to shul for Parsha Zohar. You can lane Parsha Zohar from a chumash and your yoytzeh. And if you want some icing on the cake, then on Purim, if you go to shul on Purim, you can be yoytze with the Kriya Satorah of Vayovei Amalek Purim morning. And if not even that, when you lay in the Megillah, however you hear the Megillah, the laying of the Megillah is also a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So if he can't go to shul, it's okay. There are many other alternatives to be mekayim the mitzvah of Amalek. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Be well. All the best.
There's also an outdoor Zohar on East 24th and Quentin Road twice tomorrow.
Okay, East 14th and Quentin Road.
East 24th. At regular laning and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, your backyard.
Yep.
And you're
back. Still going.
Okay. In the freezing cold. Wait a minute. You diving today and yesterday morning in your shul and you're outdoors?
Of course.
Wow. I don't know how you do this.
Hey, Ronnie. All right. Good Shabbos.
Dr. Fruchter, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good
Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good
Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos, good Shabbos.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, mivaroch.
Okay, be careful. Tell me how it is walking.
It's not so bad. I think a lot of things are like a watery thing. At night, it will freeze up.
All right.
Okay. See you guys.